She's a good girl. Loves her mama, loves Jesus.
Matt Bubala here with you on 720 WGN. About 25 minutes left in the show this morning. Good morning, everybody. Thanks very much for being with us here on the show. If you missed anything tonight, it will be podcast up at WGNradio.com. You can follow us on Facebook at The Matt Bubala Show. I did post that PSA spot we were talking about earlier that Burger King created, the anti-bullying spot. That is pretty fascinating and well worth your time. So take a look at that when you get a chance. Give us a like at The Matt Bubala Show on Facebook. Colonel Marty Reynolds is jumping on the phone with us right now. He's a retired U.S. Air Force commander. He is a military fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations. Good morning, Marty. How are you, sir?
Hey, Matt. Thanks for having me on. How are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm great. Thanks very much for jumping on the phone with us at this early hour. There is a huge pilot shortage coming up. I actually did a story about this earlier this week here on WGN Radio because we have a high school, an Air Force Academy high school here in Chicago down by Comiskey Park where the White Sox play, that just got 7 new flight simulators to help kids train to possibly go into the Air Force and become pilots down the road, because we read that over the next 20 years, commercial airlines are going to need to hire 600,000 pilots, which seems like an insane number. Is that accurate, though? Is that how big the shortage, looming shortage is?
Yeah, Boeing has they do a study every year, and that 600,000 number is really a kind of a global number. So here in the United States, they're predicting that the North American market will require about 117,000. But if you look at Europe and Asia, they're looking for 234,000. So even though there's a shortage here in the United States, and clearly in the Air Force there's a shortage as well, you can see that the shortage is going to be a global problem, not just here in the United States.
President Trump signed a while back an executive order allowing the Air Force to bring back to active duty 1,000. Pilots to address the shortage. There are about 1,500 pilots short just in the Air Force, right? Are we short pilots in the other armed service branches as well?
Yeah, well, I think they're struggling with their own retention challenges as well. I think it's most acute right now in the Air Force. But the executive order that President Trump signed actually gives the Air Force, well, actually gives the Department of Defense some flexibility to bring back on a volunteer basis retirees to fill key staff positions. So that was just signed, I think it was yesterday. And so we're waiting for the Secretary of Defense to actually provide some guidance to the services on how you could actually bring those folks back and in what conditions.
But
so
again,
from the Air Force perspective.
But again, that's, you said the word voluntary. So they can, if the government says we want you back, they can decline?
Yeah, I think what, and this just came out yesterday, I'm still waiting for the guidance from the Secretary of Defense, but everything I've read, it's a volunteer program, so it doesn't appear as it's going to be a mandatory, like you're going to get a letter in the note in the news and, hey, you retired, now you're going to come back.
That would be a tough letter to get, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes, it would. And I know in the beginning you said I'm retired. I'm still on active duty, so I'm not expecting to get those letters soon, so they still have me. But you know, you can imagine if you know getting a letter in the mail like that. But the challenge is statutorily that you could only bring back 25 retirees per service.
Mm-hmm.
And given the fact that we have 1,500 positions right now that are vacant, and most of these are staff positions too.
So it's not necessarily pilots that they need exactly. It's you, when you say staff positions, does that mean not in need of flying actual planes?
Right. So what happens is we've got a number of positions, obviously, that we've got to fill with folks to fly. And then there's other positions that you need that acute experience to fill key staff positions so that you can make informed decisions, provide guidance, and really essentially do the command and control for the Air Force. But those positions right now, we're not filling them because we just don't have the folks to fill them. So our primary responsibility is to get airplanes off the ground, do training and all that. So we fill our flying wings and flying squadrons with folks at the disadvantage of staffs who don't have the personnel to fill these key positions. So what we're asking to do is say, hey, can we bring some volunteers to fill those key positions? It's just kind of a nice offset so that we can continue to do our mission.
Are there actual pilots that would be brought out of retirement? And how tough is that if you were a pilot, had retired from the Air Force for say, 3 to 5 years already, and then to be asked to come back and fly the planes again? I imagine there's a lot of training that goes back. Once you stop doing that for a few years, those type of planes, I imagine it's tough to jump right back into that.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Everything I've seen at this point, the folks that they would bring back would be primarily just for staff assignments and not flying. Just for the reasons you just said. I mean, it's a expensive proposition to bring people back. You got to send them back to training again, recurrent. Some, you know, may not have any recency, currency. So it sounds like as if they're going to bring them all back and just put them in staff positions.
Okay, well, that makes sense. So the overall pilot demand, though, is going to be very strong over the next couple of decades. And you wrote about this in a piece we got. I think it was it in Fortune Online?
It was, yeah.
Okay. It's pretty surprising to read how tough the pay is when you start out as a pilot. I guess in part because it's maybe decent pay for a starting job, but because that you spend so much money, most pilots do, to achieve their rating to get their license. Are airlines going to be offering great incentives to get more pilots then, so that people aren't carrying? Is it sort of a big student loan type situation where pilots are going into great debt to become pilots and then not making enough money to make it worthwhile to go into the to that profession?
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. I think there's a combination of things. So in terms of pay, right now, if you look at industry standards, it's anywhere from $20,000 to $30,000 per year that the folks make in their first few years with a regional airline. To actually get your licensing, to go through and get a pilot license, and then all the way to the point where you can fly on a commercial airline, you need to accrue hours too. So in 2009, there was an accident in Buffalo, and that precipitated some changes in the number of hours that pilots needed to be able to do commercial flying. So it went from 250 hours all the way up to 1,500 hours, which is a pretty significant jump. So to get to the point where you have the hours and the licensing, you know, the estimates are if you do it out of pocket, that could cost anywhere up to $150,000. So if you're making a value judgment and saying, I'm going to put in this time and effort to not just, you know, spend the $150,000, spend the time to get to that point, and then have a job where you're only making $20,000 to $30,000, and then you have the other pieces that go with it as well. You know, the stresses that go with it, hours away from home and everything else. What we're finding is that the younger folks or the folks that are considering aviation are not going down that path or doing commercial flying because they're making a value judgment. So they're deciding that there's other things I can do professionally that would, you know, that the calculus is a little bit better in my favor. So that's part of the challenge is that we can't get folks interested in that. On the Air Force side, what I would tell you is that we have a lot of folks that are very interested in flying because if you join the Air Force, yes, you do have to sign up and you basically are in the Air Force for 10 years, but you get world-class training. Yeah, you don't have to pay for it. You're also making a pretty good salary through that period. Of course, you have service, so you know you have to deploy and put yourself in harm's way and sure. You also have to move and all those other things that come with military service. So that's the supply side of it. On the demand side, though, the demand, as you just mentioned, is going through the roof. You know, this last Boeing had calculated that about 6% increase over the last 5 years, and they're expecting growth to be about 4 to 5% over the next 20 years. The other part of this, too, is that for the airlines on the statutory side, they also changed the flight crew rest periods, which means that they actually have to hire more crew, not just pilots, but all the crew, so they can have the same number of flights. The other side of it, too, is that and back in 2009, they changed the retirement age from 60 to 65, and we're now past that five-year point. So all the folks that could have retired back in 2009 are now retiring, and they're retiring in pretty large numbers. The estimates are anywhere from 4,000 per year to a high end of 18,000 over the next 3 years.
Wow.
So if you put all these combinations together, you've got high demand, a lot of folks leaving through retirement, and then the supply side would show that not as many people are interested in doing the commercial aviation. So what does that mean? So when I was on the council of foreign relations here, you know, the question I had is, I know the Air Force had a problem, and I know that nationally they're having a challenge. So I said, well, my question was like, so who's affected the most by this? The national airlines, the major airlines, are actually still hiring, and they're hiring at a very high rate, and they don't seem to have as much of a challenge hiring. It's the regional airlines, the ones that pay a little bit less, but they're incredibly important to the transportation network. 50% of all departures in the United States are by, according to the regional association, they actually are by regional airlines. In some cases, 65% of the departures for some small market airplanes are almost all 100% regional. Mm. So this last year, just as an example, Horizon, citing pilot shortage, had to cancel hundreds of flights, which Alaska and SkyWest had to pick up. And the two other regional airlines actually filed Chapter 11, which is an indication that, and they cited also pilot shortages why they had filed bankruptcy. So when you put all these pieces together, you know, given the fact that, you know, I grew up in Montana, a small, and, you know, Billings was my airline, or my airport. Place I wanted to fly out of, yeah, the airport. You put this together is that if you're at a regional location, and prices are generally pretty high there anyway, and there's a lot of reasons why prices are high. But if you add in the complication of less flights, then the most vulnerable right now, because of the pilot shortage, are those that are in the smaller markets. So it is possible. I think prices could go up. But more than anything else, you're also going to lose the possibility for flexibility because you're going to have less opportunity to fly on flights because there's less flights.
We're speaking with Marty Reynolds. He is he is on the Council on Foreign Relations. He's a colonel in the U.S. Air Force. We have to take a quick break. Marty, hold on 1 second. We'll get some spots and a few more questions about the pilot shortage coming up, 720 WGN. A couple minutes left in the show, 4:52 in the morning. Matt Bubalik here with you, speaking with Marty Reynolds about the pilot shortage. Colonel Marty Reynolds in the U.S. Air Force, also on the Council on Foreign Relations. Marty, our newsman David Jennings has a quick question for you. Go ahead, David.
Okay.
Oh, hold on, David. There you are, sir.
Go ahead. We are. Colonel, just a couple of things real quick. Corgan Air, I know that's why they raised it. Should they consider a different approach? That is, go back to a lower minimum, let's say 500 hours, and put them through actual real-world testing, because flying is more than knowing, it's also an art, and some people have the skill and some people don't. And the second part is, any chance they will raise the retirement age from 65 to 70 for commercial pilots?
Yeah, those are two good questions. In fact, those are two questions that are being addressed both by the aviation trade agencies, and then also even on Congress, they're actually asking the same question. So let me start with the hours. So if you're a military pilot, you don't have to have the full 1,500 hours. 750 hours is enough for you to do it, and that's because the training that we get is really intense. And there's basically a lower level that you need to make that transition from military to civilian. If you have a four-year degree, then you only need 1,000. And then for all others, it's 1,500. So what I'd argue is I think there's a time to probably revisit this rule of hours. Now, there's a reason for this being in place. That's primarily for safety purposes. You know, like all of us fly on aircraft, we would like to make sure that the pilots are the best trained and have the most experience when they operate the aircraft. But I think, you know, an hour, 1,500 hours is, you know, it's just kind of it's just a number. It's, you know, why not 499 or, you know, 1,000 or 1,501? So there's probably other things that we can consider. And just like you just mentioned, higher end training, you know, for example, if you have more simulator time or more classroom time, can that also count towards the hour requirement? As far as the retirement goes, it's not inconceivable to see the retirement age moving above 65. You know, it could go to 67. Overseas in some places it is 67. Or it could go higher. I'm not sure where that is within Congress, but I don't think that's inconceivable. That's one of the options that's used.
Thank you, sir.
Another real quick question here is it, and we got to get going, is it a good time then to want to be a pilot? I would assume that because of the shortage, that the airlines and the aviation industry will try to do more, to offer more, to incentivize kids to take, take aviation as majors and learn to become pilots. And also because in general, you know, these regional airlines are closing down because there's not enough pilots. That means the pilots are getting the better jobs that fly longer routes, have better pay, better benefits. So while there's the shortage, I imagine it's the best time to become a pilot because you're going to move up the ranks faster as they need more. Does that make sense?
Oh man, absolutely. Listen, it's always a good time to be a pilot. It's amazing career. It's a lot of fun. But I think what you just mentioned, there's going to be the traditional and really innovative ways for the airlines to actually try to hire folks. And, of course, the increasing pay and benefits is one of the things that are on the table. But you got to get people to be excited about aviation. So one of the things I'm advocating in the article was, you know, is it time to actually have like a national czar of aviation where they get young folks actually really excited about flying, you know. Going to an air show, I mean, how people get very, very excited about flying and get motivated and excited about it. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think there's a perfect time to fly. And it's going to take some time, too, you know, to start flying and then accrue the hours and licensing and all that. It takes time for you to be eligible to fly. To change structural changes in contracts is going to take time to do that. So it's going to take some time for us to probably see the supply and demand curves work in the favor of the airlines. And then, of course, on the retention side for the Air Force, you know, we're working on programs where we would like to have our folks stay in longer. So we've actually started seeing bonuses go up, monthly flight pay go up. And then we're trying to change our own culture so people have feel even a deeper meaning and purpose about flying in the military, so they want to stay with us for a longer period. But it's going to take some time. But if you're thinking about aviation, boy, right now is a good time to do it.
Marty Reynolds, the piece is in Fortune. We'll put it up online as well. Thank you so much for jumping on the phone this morning.
Hey, Matt, thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
You bet, sir. Have a great weekend. All right.